Good evening. Welcome to tonight's meeting of Bethlehem City Council for Tuesday, January 19th, 2021. The time is 7:02 p.m. We'd all please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you all. Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan.
Present.
Mr. Cologne.
Present.
Vice Ramsey Smith.
Present.
Ms. Negron.
Presente.
Mr. Reynolds. Dr. Van Wert. Mr. Waldron.
Present. Mr. Reynolds and Dr. Van Wert informed me that they might be coming along a little bit later this evening. They had prior commitments for work, so hopefully they'll be joining us this evening. But we do have 5 out of 7, so we can proceed with our full council agenda because we have a quorum. We have a public hearing on tonight's agenda. Prior to consideration of the regular agenda items, City Council will conduct a public hearing to accept public comment on the proposed bill amending Article 1501 of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Bethlehem titled Fire Safety and Code Enforcement Inspection Fees. The public hearing document is a cover memo from Craig Baer, Deputy Fire Chief, along with the proposed bill. The public hearing is now called to order, considering the proposed bill amending Article 1501. I will recognize Craig Baer, Deputy Fire Chief, to discuss the proposed bill.
Thank you, President Waldron, council members. I don't know how you want to proceed. I could sort of hit the highlights and some of the changes that we made, or you want me to sort of go through line by line? I mean, whichever you would prefer, I can sort of do either.
Yeah, I think give us a bullet point of what some of those changes are, and then I'll turn to Public Safety Chair Mr. Cologne for first comments and questions. Thank you.
Okay, so I mean, just a quick little bit of history on that. So the last fire code that we adopted to stay consistent with the state was 2009. This is going to 2015. So we skipped over two code cycles in this change. That has nothing to do with us. That's just the way the state did it. So that's why it took a little bit of extra time this time around to come up with the changes. It was sort of, instead of reviewing a code cycle, it was reviewing two full code cycles, and there have been a lot of changes. The first thing that I have, you know, see, for the permit fees, we're not proposing any fee changes. I don't plan on doing a resolution to change any of the fees. There's a change in the appendices, so we're going to adopt the fire code, or intend to adopt the fire code with all the appendices of the fire code, and in addition to an extra appendices, an appendix that we can enforce locally to regulate temporary and mobile cooking operations. So if you're looking at your document, there's a couple of permits type requirements that we removed from the fire code. Mostly these were done because they're either regulated by another agency, be it the state, other agencies within the city, or we sort of address these ones in our annual inspection program, so I don't really see a need to collect a permit fee on top of that. We're already enforcing the code. It would just be applying a permit fee to that, and a lot of them I don't see it being necessary. But some of those are carnivals and fairs. High piled storage is done by code enforcement. Industrial ovens is done by DEP. LP gas, propane, and natural gas, that's all regulated by the state. Repair garages and gas stations, that's all done by the state. The same as the temporary membrane structures and tents, it's all set by the state. So we don't really have any enforcement authority on those. So those permits were removed out of the code. Scrolling down here. We made a change to enforcement of overcrowding over the years. It's just sort of been assumed in the way the code was written that you were allowed to evacuate a premises in an emergency situation due to overcrowding. We just added that language in there in section 107.6 so that there's no question. That language is definitely in there. It sets the rules for the appeals board. There's no separate fire code appeals board. It all falls under the existing city code board of appeals. And then section 109 sets the penalties in order with the third class city code in Pennsylvania. So all the allowable penalties under the third class city code are now rolled into and consistent with our local adoption of the fire code. We had to address Department of Transportation. I went through this with legal, and this was really because of the new Pennsylvania fireworks law and people transporting fireworks in Pennsylvania, that we had to throw the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania in there, not just as a federal regulation, but now that the state has some say with their new fireworks law. So we just had to define who's Department of Transportation. Moving down, open burning, we specifically removed the exception for recreational fires. And recreational fires are defined as a fire that's built right on the ground. And we specifically removed that through the fire code that they are not permitted at all. And then moving down in here, we adjusted the distances and clearance to buildings and combustible material for any open burning that would be allowed. And we added language that open burning is only allowed when approved. And we did that because we still have some instances through, I would say, Cub Scouts, some different events down at the Colonial Industrial Quarter, the flag burning ceremony. They do colonial cooking demonstrations, brewing demonstrations. They didn't want to completely eliminate that possibility for those things to still happen, but it just needs to be in an approved method. We just added that language in there to allow for that where approved through the proper process. And I added some information for the portable fuel open flame devices, like the heaters that you see on Main Street. We just added a note in there that they have a safety listing, whether it be from UL or one of the other ones, so that they have all the safety features that are currently available, like the anti-tip switch, and if there's a leak, they automatically shut off. Just so if they're there, they're the safest ones possible. Just trying to see what else is major that I had here. This is a big one. So we added from 2009 to 2015, the emergency management portion of the fire code expanded from like 3 or 4 pages to probably 40 pages. You just think back from, you know, 2007, 2008, when that code was being, that model code was being drafted till now, how many changes have taken place in the emergency management world. And the language that we added was to give the city's emergency management coordinator the authority to enforce certain sections of the fire code. And really it's in the planning phase that he can require certain things that the fire code also requires, but that it would give him the authority in the planning phase to require those things. And one of those things that he can require, or I didn't feel that it was right for the fire department to require was a police department presence at some of these events. I just think that that's better handled from a higher level than the fire department saying, hey, we need police officers at this sort of thing. So that gives the emergency management coordinator the ability to enforce certain aspects of the fire code when it comes to public gatherings, planned events, festivals, and that sort of thing. And it's specifically laid out in there what they can and can't enforce. I think it just makes it, when the emergency management coordinator position was in the fire department, I didn't see that as being a huge deal, but now that it's a separate standalone entity, I just think it will flow better with the emergency management coordinator directing some of those things or having the ability to direct some of those things. We changed it in the last one. I kept this in. We're accepting or have to mandate reports for fire alarms, sprinkler systems, their testing and maintenance to go through the compliance engine. That's working really well, and we're going to keep that language in there, and I'd like to continue using them for submitting testing and maintenance reports for fire systems. I did make another change here. This was changed in the 2009, but we had some, I don't want to say complaints, but the language wasn't as clear as it could be for when additional standpipes are required, 250 feet from the nearest point of fire department access. We just sort of polished up that language, and I think it's kind of about as clear as it can be now when it is and isn't required. And that's mainly for the big warehouses that are going in to give us the ability to better fight any fires that would occur in there. Hopefully they don't, but if there was, that give us a better ability with those extra standpipe connections. And section 31, this is where this lays the groundwork for the cooking, the temporary cooking and mobile cooking in tents. This sort of, even though we don't enforce tents, that's really done through the state and through the buildings department. When it comes to cooking, heating, warming, any open flames in tents, then that comes back to the fire code and that extra appendix that we adopted. And that appendix is it's a National Fire Protection Association document, so we didn't come up with anything that are on. That's a standard document put out by the NFPA to regulate mobile cooking and temporary cooking operations. And we addressed the new fireworks law in Pennsylvania. We had to make some changes and add Commonwealth of Pennsylvania in there again, with the, not just the federal government, but how it affects us here locally with Pennsylvania's new fireworks law. And then we also addressed the new fireworks ordinance, Article 746, the city's fireworks ordinance, and how that affects fireworks displays and what's considered a fireworks display and when it is just fireworks used by the public. So I mean, that's really the high points of it that are the changes for this year. And I mean, if we have any questions, I think we move on with questions.
Thank you, Deputy Chief Bear. First, I'll turn to Public Safety Chair Mr. Colon for any questions or comments.
Thank you. Thanks for going over that highlights, Mr. Bear. So you had gone over the permits that you removed from the code because there's other regulatory agencies that overlooked that. Is that new, or were those same agencies in effect the last time this was revised, but it was just left in at that time?
No, the I just sort of went over that. We did some shifting around enforcing less permits, but yeah, they were pretty much the same. But I just wanted to hit those and just say, you know, kind of like why are those taken out? And it's not that they're not enforced. I just don't see that it's really either A, we can't, or B, that it's not really necessary that we add on, you know, an additional permit fee for something that we're already getting through our annual fire inspection program.
Understood. What page talks about recreational burning? Of the handout that we have.
Pete?
Give me a second. I
believe it starts on page 8.
It starts on page 9.
Bottom of page 9 here. So previously, recreational fires would be allowed as long as they weren't within 25 feet of a structure or combustible material, and now they're prohibited outright. Is that correct?
So, yeah, and this language, the reason that there's some changes is the language changed in the fire code, so I tried to modify it the best I could to how the fire code has sort of always been enforced in the past, you know, the way that we've been doing it, and it took a little bit of language change, but I think, or I would hope, that the way this is proposed, that it still gives us the ability to regulate it and allow it in certain circumstances, but it's still consistent with how it's been for as far back as I can remember, and as far back as anybody that I've spoke to remembers how the ban on open burning was.
Understood. Thank you for the clarification. Those were the questions. Everything else you went over, pretty straightforward. When we talk about kind of fire protection and having regulations, I was at, I think it was VegFest 2013 on the Greenway there, where that propane, I think it was a propane tank that popped, and I witnessed a tent there vanish in a matter of a microsecond because of what happened. And we're talking about fire safety and the need to have these codes and rules in place and different inspections and oversight. All these were always pretty common sense. The changes you brought forward today, I think I have no disagreements with. So thank you again for the presentation, Mr. Baird.
Yeah, sure. And I just wanted to comment on that, if I may. You know, it may seem like for a lot of these events, like it's overkill, but unfortunately, Bethlehem's up there with some places like Philadelphia and Chicago, who have had a significant event from mobile cooking. So when you look at the places around the country that are really strict, most of those places have had a significant event that they either A, got really lucky, or things went really bad. So I think, you know, it's that it seems like overkill, but I don't think it can ever be too safe in those situations, especially when it comes to, you know, the public being around. They have the right to be as safe as possible at those events.
Agreed.
Thank you, Mr. Clone. Any other questions or comments from members of council? Mr. Callahan?
Thank you, Mr. President. Craig, I just got one question. So for the people in their backyards that have like an open fire pit that they use for cooking, that would still be allowed, right?
I'm sorry, you completely broke up. I didn't get what you said. I'm sorry.
For residents that have like an open like a fire burning pit in the backyard, and they're using it to cook hot dogs with their kids, as long as they're cooking with it, it's still legal though, right?
Well, they really should be in, to be considered cooking, it's supposed to be in a store-bought grill, not some sort of like homemade contraption or just, you know, like a stone wall. For what we tell people, switch over to propane. I know it's a pain in the butt, but it's a lot more safe and convenient for everybody.
All right. Thank you.
Ms. Kransky-Smith?
Thank you. Chief, I guess along that line, I've got a couple questions from people about the fire pits. Like, are the regulations that they have to be gas, or can they be alternates to gas? What is the status on that? Not for just for recreation or whatever.
Yeah, so it's only propane or natural gas that's currently allowed. But, you know, I will say this, a lot of places or a lot of other cities that that do allow it, they sort of take the open burning out of the fire code and make it more of a, you know, a public nuisance thing. I'm just, like I said, I'm trying to be consistent with what we've always enforced here in the city, was that, you know, it wasn't allowed. It's just now that, you know, some of this language has changed, we've had to sort of modify it to make it fit into what our intention is.
Okay. And the other issue I know is a hot topic, but I just want to get your input. I mean, the fireworks this year was just, you know, ludicrous. I mean, there were so many complaints, and I mean, I think you had to be pretty much, you know, I don't know what the word is, if you didn't experience it in the city, it was really out of hand. How do you think is the best to deal with this? I mean, until hopefully we get the state to revoke the law, is there anything you can do to help you guys and gals with enforcement, or how can we tackle this problem?
Well, you know, unfortunately, the state took any authority away from us and that, you know, from the fire side, and made it strictly a police issue. So, you know, the way the state law is written, from the fire side, we don't really have any enforcement authority. And one of the reasons I think that is because we're one of the few municipalities in the state outside of Philadelphia and Pittsburgh that enforce the entirety of the International Fire Code. So they, you know, unfortunately, we used to have some say in fireworks, and the way the state law is written, it now becomes a crime that's enforceable by police, and that's really it. In my opinion, it was poorly written, and they didn't really get or accept any good input from people. That was, in my opinion, was just a money grab, and they did what they had to do to get it through.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Appreciate your opinion.
Sure.
Ms. Negron, did you have any questions or comments? Mr. Callahan, back to you.
Craig, I'm following up on Councilwoman Grace Cramsey Smith's question. So residents are not, they're only allowed to use, by the ordinance, they're only allowed to use gas flame for cooking. They're not allowed to use firewood? Because I was under the impression that they're allowed to use firewood as long as they're using it for cooking purposes.
Yeah, no, unfortunately, going back and just to, you know, give you some expanded history on it, we've tried some different things over the years, and I know for a while it was sort of an unwritten rule. It's like, you know, hey, if you're cooking, the fire department's not going to say anything. You sort of do what you do, and that just really went bad in a hurry. You know, I can remember at least one night over my career going to two separate building fires, and they both happened to be on the south side, and if I remember correctly, they were around Lehigh students that were, you know, oh, they were cooking, they're fine, and, you know, in the middle of the night, their cooking fire spread to buildings, and it's just, you know, I think it's the safest and easiest way to do it is just have the outright ban. If you would see, I'd be more than willing to share some pictures with you, just some of the crazy things that people do out there. It's just, it's amazing.
Are there any other additional questions or comments for Mr. Bear? At this time, we'll turn to public comment on anyone who would like to call in to make comment on the public hearing This is the only subject matter we will be taking comment on at this time. The number to do so is 610-997-7963. Shortly there'll be an additional comment period. If you'd like to make a comment on another topic. So right now we're accepting comment on the proposed change to the ordinance discussing the fire, Article 1501 of the codified ordinance of the City of Bethlehem titled Fire Safety Code Enforcement Inspection Fees. So if anyone from the public would like to do so, now is the time to call in. There will be a comment period shortly for other topics. We had one call there, but I believe it might have been for another topic. So at this time, the bill in discussion will be on the February 2nd council meeting agenda for first reading, and the public hearing is adjourned. Thank you for joining us this evening, Mr. Bear.
Thank you for your consideration. Thank you.
Moving on with our agenda, seeking approval of the minutes for November 17th and January 5th. If there's no comments from members of council, the minutes will stand approved. Moving to public comment on any subject not being voted on this evening, where there's a 5-minute time limit for public comment. And as a reminder, if you joined this meeting on YouTube after our start around 7:02 p.m., make sure that you scroll ahead and you're live within the feed, so that way you can hit our comment period window. We're accepting public comment first on any subject not being voted on, followed by anything that's listed in our ordinance or resolution to be voted on this evening. We have one name previously signed up, that's Brandon O'Keefe, who I'll give a call to, and after that we'll open up the phone line to someone else who'd like to call in.
Hey.
Hello, this is Bethlehem City Council.
Hello.
Mr. O'Keefe, if you could mute your YouTube feed, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. If you could give us your name and address for the record and proceed with your comments to council with a 5-minute time limit. Thank you.
Yes. My name is Brandon O'Keefe. I'm living currently at 1932 Mary Street, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. My comment is on 802 Atlantic Street and 801 Hillside, which I purchased within the last 4 months. I was told by Robert Vidoni that I could call in and comment about the student overlay for that particular property. I just wanted to give you a few reasons why I think that this property would be good for the student overlay. It's connected to an additional 1.2 acres that would allow additional parking and plenty of space for the students. It's also about a 10-minute walk from the college, the art center, and other buildings for the college. We are setting up on our structure. We're setting up the ability for students to gather in study in game rooms, fitness areas, and they'll have their own laundry facilities. And all the students will have access to the high-speed internet that's on the property. Most of the homes in the area are already twin homes and apartment complexes, so I think that the area is pretty perfect for this. We feel like we can update the look to that particular area so that it would increase property values, and the property is going to be managed by a professional management company, which would allow the property to be maintained and well taken care of. And we're planning on putting security cameras throughout the property that will increase the security for the neighborhood. I hope this is enough information for you, but we've moved from Utah to do this venture, and we're pretty excited to be in Bethlehem. So.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. O'Keefe. I would maybe encourage you to follow up with an email so that way we have some of those pertinent details.
Sure.
Thank you.
We will send you an email on it. Thank you.
Have a good evening. City Council is accepting public comments. Hello, this is Bethlehem City Council.
Yes, hello.
Hello, this is Bethlehem City Council.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for returning my call.
You're welcome. If you could please give your name and address and proceed with your comments to council with a 5-minute time limit. Thank you.
Diana Rodriguez, 315 Broad Street, Bethlehem, PA.
Thank you.
Okay. So I am here today to ask a question that I have asked twice before. We have really not received any concrete answers from the City Council. So I'm here bringing this concern again, especially as we're looking forward to the next elections here in the city. Especially this part of the neighborhood is very focused to see, who really has our interest and who is there protecting us. And so far, every time we keep bringing up the same question and topic, we're just ignored. So my question, once again, is regarding the homes that are around the Armory redevelopment. Mr. Watson, I follow your suggestion, and you have said that maybe a good idea would be to get in contact with Ms. Carner, and I did that. And her response was that the city does not do periodic inspections when constructions are happening. She didn't say why. She didn't say that the city doesn't do that. So I would like to know if the council can give me any reasons of why the city cannot commit to do some kind of periodic inspection during and after a construction of this magnitude is approved, especially given that this is a historic neighborhood and our homes are really old. So I would like to know if you know why they cannot do this.
I do not know why.
Is there a way that we can find out why they cannot commit to something as simple as just sending, inspectors after, the construction and during the construction to make sure that our homes are protected, because we are just really here at their mercy?
That would be a question that would best be answered by the Housing Department under the Community and Economic Development Department. Those inspectors are the ones who carry out inspections within the city. City Council does not have any purview or overview of those employees, so that would really be something that the administration would have to handle.
Wouldn't the person in charge be Ms. Carner?
Yes, ultimately.
Okay. So she's the one who told me that the city doesn't do that, and I was wondering if anybody there would have any knowledge of why. She didn't give me any legal reason why they don't do it. She didn't say they don't do it.
I'm not aware of the city ever inspecting other properties in the proximity to any development. But again, I'm not in that department. I'm not familiar with their practices. That's something that those professionals would have a better handle on.
Sure. So we're pretty much at their mercy. They approved this and then they left us alone with whatever happened. And the other question that I had too for the city was, we have been trying to ask for a traffic study specifically for Rouse Street because we don't have a sidewalk, and they haven't given us any kind of traffic study. So she said that if I wanted that information, which is supposed to be public information because we are going to be the one affected by this, we have to fill out a right to know form. And I was wondering if you knew of an easier way to have access to the traffic study.
The easiest way would be to fill out the right to know request. It's usually a one-page form, and that gets processed relatively quickly. I'm sure if that was done last time we had this conversation, you probably would have the report by now.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Have a good evening. City Council accepting comment at 610-997-7963. If anyone would like to make comment to council this evening, the number to do so is 610-997-7963 on any subject not on tonight's agenda, as well as any resolution or ordinance that is on tonight's agenda. If you'd like to make comment to council, this will be the time to do so. Hello, Bethlehem City Council.
Good evening. My name is Charlene Donchez Mowers. I'm president of Historic Bethlehem Museums and Sites and the Bethlehem World Heritage Commission. Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to speak. I would just like to thank City Council for your continued support of our World Heritage Initiative. There was a Federal Register notice requesting public comment on the next site to be put forward by the United States in nomination to the World Heritage List. And I understand that City Council will be having a resolution this evening to support this initiative. This will bring incredible recognition to our city. We can become a heritage triangle with the Statue of Liberty in New York and Independence Hall in Philadelphia, the other two nearby World Heritage sites. There are only 24 World Heritage sites in our entire country, so this would be an incredible honor. And I just wanted to call in and say thank you very much to City Council for your continued support of this initiative.
Thank you for your comments and thank you for your work on the topic. All of the City of Bethlehem appreciates it.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
Thank you, you too. Thank you.
Still accepting comment at 610-997-7963. This will be the last opportunity for the public to make comment this evening to City Council on any subject on our agenda, as well as any additional topics. If you'd like to do so, the number is 610-997-7963. Thank you. Continuing with our agenda this evening, communication 6A.
A memorandum from Edward Boscola, Director in Water and Sewer Resources, recommending a contract with Huey Engineering for water treatment plant roof repair. The term of the contract runs from the notice to proceed until December 31st, 2021. The cost is $35,000 and there are no renewals.
Resolution 10B on the agenda, communication 6B.
A memorandum from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, recommending a contract with Redu Associates, Inc. for Broadway sanitary sewer replacement. The term of the contract runs from the notice to proceed until December 31st, 2021. The cost is $90,800 and there are no renewals.
Resolution 10C is on the agenda, communication 6C.
A memorandum from Police Chief Michelle Cott with an attached resolution and agreement for the purchase of a duty weapon by a retired officer of the Bethlehem Police Department. Pursuant to the Third Class City Code, retired officers may purchase their duty firearms at fair market value.
Resolution 10D is on the agenda, communication 6D.
A memorandum from Michelle Shiaki, Director of Human Resources, recommending a contract with Preferred EAP for Employee Assistance Program Counseling and Coaching Services. The term of the contract runs until December 31st, 2022. The cost is $14,200 and there are no renewals.
Resolution 10E on the agenda, communication 6E.
A memorandum from Michelle Siaki, Director of Human Resources, recommending a contract with St. Luke's Occupational Medicine for DOT required drug and alcohol testing program services. The term of the contract runs until December 31st, 2021. The estimated cost is $7,200 per year, and there are no renewals.
Resolution 10F is on the agenda. Communication 6F.
A memorandum from Edward Healy, First Assistant City Solicitor, with an attached proposed bill amending Article 1713 related to the composition of the Historical Architectural Review Board. The main purpose of the amendment is to increase flexibility on board service eligibility requirements to make it easier to fill vacant positions.
I will refer this topic to the Community Development Committee. Communication 6G.
A memorandum from Alicia Miller-Carner, Director of Community and Economic Development, recommending a contract with Joseph Phillips, Phillips and Donovan Architects, for the historic officer position. The contract runs through 2023 with a possible one-year extension through 2024 and then 2025. The cost is $16,200 per year with an additional $25 per month in subsequent years.
Resolution 10G is on the agenda, Communication 6H.
A memorandum from Alicia Miller-Carner, Director of Community and Economic Development, recommending a contract with Jeffrey Long for the historic officer position. The contract runs through 2023 with possible one-year extensions through 2025. The cost is $16,200 per year with an additional $25 per month in subsequent years.
Resolution 10H is on the agenda, Communication 6I.
A memorandum from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, requesting Council to consider a resolution for the destruction of records from the Water and Sewer Resources Department listed in the attached exhibit. The Director has reviewed the Municipal Records Retention Act, and the records fall within the categories where destruction is permitted.
This will be placed on the February 2nd agenda, Communication 6J.
A memorandum from Adam Waldron, President of City Council, with an attached proposed resolution supporting the city's efforts to have historic Moravian Bethlehem named to the World Heritage List.
Resolution 10I on the agenda, Communication 6K.
A memorandum from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, with an attached proposed resolution authorizing the city to submit a financial assistance application to the Pennsylvania Infrastructure Investment Authority for the purpose of obtaining a grant to fund construction, rehabilitation, and/or extension of city water infrastructure.
Resolution 10J is on the agenda, Communication 6L.
A memorandum from Michael Alcohol, Director of Public Works, recommending a contract with B&F Petroleum Installation, Inc. for a placement of the underground storage tank in the municipal garage. The estimated completion date is May 27, 2021. The new contract amount will be up to $334,410, and there are no renewals.
Resolution 10M on the agenda. Reports. This evening, City Council is joined by Lehigh County Executive Phil Armstrong. He's been checking with us every 12 months or so. Last time he was able to join us in the rotunda, but this evening he is with us on the GoToMeeting for those watching at home. So he's going to give us some information about what's happening in Lehigh County. As some of you are likely aware, about a third of the city is located in Lehigh County, including my residence and Vice President Colon's as well. So we're eager to hear what he has to say, and we thank you for joining us this evening.
Well, thank you for having me again. I like to get out to every one of the meetings every year. This year my car will have fewer miles on it, but it is nice to get out, find out what's going on. I found your information about your fire code unbelievably interesting. It's amazing how these things get updated. But I also had the privilege to serve on the Bethlehem Historic Committee with Mrs. Donchez, and I have to say, she is a gem. She has been working so hard on getting this city as a World Heritage Site. And unless, and my eyes were opened when I became a member of this committee, the work that's involved, it's not a point of just putting in an application and saying, gee, we have this, can we please have a designation? So I'm glad that we in Lehigh County are also going to be doing a letter of support of that. I'm also very proud of the help that we were able to give out to all the municipalities in Lehigh County, including Bethlehem, in our CARES Act funding. And we saw fit that the municipalities took a major hit because of the COVID, as the counties did also. So we tried to share as much as we could. And we also did a substantial help to ArtsQuest, because we realized how valuable that is to all of Lehigh Valley. Just because it's held maybe not in our county, it still is a valuable resource that we don't want to lose as far as quality of life. But we're experiencing the same problem that I'm sure you're experiencing, getting people help right now because of COVID. In our jail, in our senior homes, and I'm sure Michael knows that, down at Grace Jail, it's a difficult situation right now. It's a fluid situation, it changes by the hour. We're doing the best we can with what we have, and we're saying, and I really feel this, what good has come out of this is you have seen lately cooperation between municipalities and the county, between nonprofits and the county, between businesses and the county, you know, and I'm sure everybody agrees, we're sick of looking at things at the national level where it's just two forces meeting head on, where we can assure the citizens of our area we are always working together, and that potholes don't know parties, is my saying. And if there's a pothole that needs to be fixed, they don't care what party you're in. And that's the great part about local politics. If we try to take the word politics out of it and get to be people who are serving our community. What I really like to do by coming is asking you, do you have any questions on anything particular in the county, or a need that maybe we have forgotten you about, or something to that nature? That's why I'd like to, you know, open it up to the council. Is there anything about the county right now that you would like to know in particular?
Mr. Callahan, I'll turn to you first.
I knew Brian would have something.
I want to thank you for all your support with the Rose Garden. And I don't know. I know budgets are very tight this year, and probably next year also. But if you could, if there's any funds that could be directed towards the Rose Garden on the west side, I deeply appreciate it. And I know the residents on the west side would appreciate it also. That's, you know, that's one of the main areas on the west side of Bethlehem, which is Lehigh County. And there's a lot of good people over there and residents over there that have put a lot of work into that, to try to upgrade it. So, I'd appreciate anything that could be done for that area. Thank you.
All right. And that and the Burnside Plantation is also in Lehigh County. Two beautiful spots in Bethlehem that we definitely want to. We're hoping there's, in this next round of funding, we're going to have money back to us again to be able to do these things. We have our fingers crossed. One good news, and I can't make it public today, but we got a nice check today, a very nice check to work with a particular problem that I know we have in our cities. And we just got the check, but we're not ready to make a formal announcement until we put it all together. But we applied for something, and we were rewarded by getting our application in first. So, we're going to try to help in certain areas wherever we can.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
no problem.
On that that grant award, Mr. Armstrong, if I just mute everyone else, do you want to tell just the council?
Mr. Kane, my economic, it's going to helping with, and I can tell you this, it's going to be helping with housing and rent assistance.
That's great. That's great news for all of New York County.
I don't know if you saw in the morning call that I was picked. 25 county executives from America have joined this group where we meet monthly. A couple of weeks ago, we met with the future Secretary of Transportation. But because I'm in that group, the next day I got a call from that group saying, there's going to be money available and you could get up to, you know, a little bit more than $10 million if you... We got that call on Friday morning, Friday afternoon, the application was in, and today the check came. So, quickest thing we've ever got. But yeah, it is a problem we're facing in our cities and our urban areas. So, now we have a lot of work to do on agencies to work with this, and you know, but it's going to be a tremendous help for Lehigh County.
That's great news. I know there's lots of families and individuals and small businesses that are really hurting because of the economic downturn. And how do you feel that has affected Lehigh County in any ways that's different maybe than the Lehigh Valley as a whole?
Well, we, and I'm sure Lamont LaCour did the same thing in Northampton County. Every small business that applied for a CARES funding, we were able to give them some economic development money. The thank you letters, in fact, I just got a really nice letter from ArtsQuest today. The thank you letters are pouring in. It meant life or death to a lot of our businesses, especially businesses, restaurants, people that were dealing with the food industry, the tourist industry. They were helped hurt. But today I found out that our hotels right now have we're still not near what we were, but we have the highest percentage occupancy rate of any of the hotels in the state of Pennsylvania. We're higher than Philadelphia. So we have a great place to live, a great place to come and enjoy. We have great open spaces, rails to trails, recreation. Historic Bethlehem is definitely, and when we get that as a World Heritage Site, wow, that's going to be tremendous. So I think we're going to be on the right side of this when we get out of COVID to get the economy, but it's going to be a couple of quarters before we get back to normal. But our businesses are suffering. And you know what we're all hurting on? Labor. Trying to, and all I met with 103 different business leaders last Thursday, and the common thread was their businesses are doing well, but they can't find workers. So, you know, because of COVID, people are not at work, and because schools aren't having, you know, they need to stay home because of daycare problems. And so there's a shortage of labor right now in Lehigh County. So we have the Career Link, and they're ready to place people. We just need to get these people ready to get back to work. And we have the jobs for them.
Well, that all sounds very positive. Thank you for joining us. I'll turn back to council, other members of council. Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Thank you. Hi, Bill. Thanks so much for coming over. I think it's great how you come over periodically and keep us updated, and definitely you're very accessible, so we appreciate it. And any money you could send our way for housing and rental assistance, we'll take it.
Well, like I said, we just got it today, so there's a lot of work before I really want to announce it, because I don't want everybody lining up till. But we have to, because there's a lot of T's that have to be crossed and I's that have to be, as you know, anything that comes as a grant, there's a lot of regulations that go with it. But what a fantastic thing to get, really is.
Right, and I'm hoping we get first dibs, because The only thing I wanted to say was about labor. I know there's such a shortage, but are you talking about skilled labor or non-skilled? When you talk
all kinds. You'd be surprised. In Northampton County, B. Braun, which is also in Lehigh County, Bausch, Olympus, every one of them, we're talking about shortages. That the construction companies, manufacturing companies. So there's not just warehouse jobs out there. there are a lot of different kinds of jobs, and we're working with Nancy Dishnot, and especially we have programs now for the schools. Not all kids want to go to college, so we need to have them going to into these trades, which is just as valuable, and there's free training for this. So we're working on those programs also in a cooperative effort.
Great. Yeah. As a school counselor doing career counseling, I see that you know, a lot of kids really need to go into the trades more so than college, so I think that's important that we send them that road and make sure we have enough training and apprenticeship programs for them. So.
And we do. We do. That's if we get out of COVID, you know, that will be, that's the problem right now.
And be well, Phil.
Thanks, Grace.
Any other questions or comments for Lehigh County Executive Phil Armstrong? Well, thank you again, sir, for joining us this evening. I hope that the rest of your visits to the other municipalities within Lehigh County go well for you.
Thank you very much.
And I hope you and the rest of the residents of Lehigh County have a better 2021. Fingers crossed for those at home. Thanks again for joining us. We're going to transition over to the mayor's side of reports. Before we do that this evening, I did want to honor a former city council member in Mike Schwader, who we lost recently at age 71. He's somebody who I did not have an opportunity to work with on council. His time on council was from 98 to 2009. He was a Liberty graduate himself, and I know that he did have a large impact on many residents within the city of Bethlehem and carried a long-lasting legacy. So if there was any additional comments that anybody on council wanted to add to that, I think now would be a good time to honor Mr. Schwader. And I did ask that after that we probably have a moment of silence for him as well, but I'll turn to Mr. Reynolds.
Thank you, Mr. Waldron. I just for a minute here, is I had an opportunity to serve with Mr. Schrader for 2 years, and I think that during his time serving the city, you know, we've talked a lot about what the casino has meant and what the redevelopment has meant for, you know, our decision making and the city in 2021 and beyond. And when that was coming together, obviously, you know, John Callion was our mayor at the time, and he worked very hard to bring that to Bethlehem and bring that redevelopment. Now, without the casino there, we don't have steel stacks, and we don't have that $10 million every year, and we don't have the jobs. And, you know, it's a situation where a lot of people deserve credit for that. But at the time, you know, city council, and I know Mr. Donchez remembers this, is, I mean, it came down to four votes. And, you know, Mr. Schrader is one of those votes. And he had pushed for the casino and the redevelopment. And, you know, it was something that at the time, as, you know, we've been over many times before, was controversial. But I think one thing we can all agree on is if we didn't do that at the time as a city, who knows where we would be. And, you know, it's sometimes hard to prove a negative and hard to prove that we didn't have to make difficult decisions because Mayor Callahan and City Council at the time, including Mr. Donchez, did that. But, you know, I remember I was right out of college at the time and I was not at City Council yet, just watching that as a Bethlehem citizen. It was a heavy lift. And, you know, there obviously at the time there were some disagreements between City Council and the mayor, but this was one where they came together and got behind this, you know, transformational project for the city. And I think a lot of the great things that have happened in the city over the past 15 years have been dominoes that have fallen because of the leadership of Mayor Callahan, Councilman Schrader, you know, Councilman Donchez at the time, and the other members of City Council. So I think that's absolutely, you know, going to be a big part of, you know, Councilman Schrader's legacy. And, you know, I think I speak for a lot of people when I say that, you know, my prayers go out to his wife and his sons and his family. Thank you, Mr. Wall.
Thank you, Mr. Reynolds. So at this time, I would just ask for a moment of silence to remember former Councilman Mike Schrader. Thank you all. I will turn to Mr. Evans to proceed with reports for the mayor.
Thank you, President Waldron. I do have a quick report and then two administrative orders. The first report is more of an announcement that we are very aware of significant delays with mail. Most of us have been seeing it in our homes or at our workplaces, and the city is no different than that. We are having most of the delays seem to be impacted are the water bills coming in late, people arriving late, they're calling, they're not getting them. We have a lot of volume with that. The tax bills went out, they don't seem to have that same impact. It may have been on the timing of when they started rolling out. But we are attempting to notify everyone best we can, mostly through social media presence, through email, through our website. And when people come in, we are not charging any interest or penalties. We're making the adjustments immediately and hoping that the mail will begin to get corrected, but that timeline is significantly delayed. Other than that, two administrative orders. Administrative order number one, this is for the mayor. I hereby reappoint Dr. Joseph Bazak III, 1952 East Hill Drive, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, 18017, to the Board of Health. This appointment is effective through January 2026.
The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron. Discussion? The clerk, please call the roll. Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert? Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0.
Thank you. Administrative Order 2. I hereby reappoint Dennis Tomchak, 269 Langhorne Avenue, Bethlehem, PA, 18017, to the Bethlehem Authority Board. This appointment is effective through January 2026.
The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron. Discussion? Ms. Cramsey Smith?
I just want to say, as the liaison to the Bethlehem Authority, Mr. Domchek has done an excellent job. He has an impressive resume, and I know I spoke with Mr. Repkosh, and he's really hoping that he is reappointed because he's been a real asset to the authority. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cramsey Smith. Clerk, please call the roll. Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0.
Thank you.
Typically, we'd have a report from Dr. Van Wert. There was an intention for the Community Development Committee to meet this evening at 6 p.m. The meeting had to be postponed. A new date has not been set for that, but when it does, that will be made public. We have no ordinances for final passage this evening and one new ordinance to consider, Ordinance 9A.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the zoning ordinance in sections 1305 and 1306 to amend provisions for commercial uses on the first floor in CB and CL zoning districts. Bill 1, 2021 is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Is there any discussion from members of council? Mr. Callahan?
The only question I have here, so this area is obviously, if I'm correct, is going to cover the 3rd and New Street area.
Is that...
That's a question.
Well, you clearly... I'm just wondering if anyone from the administration would like to answer it. Or it's intended for a fellow council member to answer. I see Ms. Carner might be with us. Howdy.
Hi, sorry about that. I missed part of the question when it says I was switching from YouTube to the GoSuit feed. Could you repeat that, please?
So this is going to cover the area of 3rd and New Street where the, for lack of a better term, the better project is?
So, not when you say it's going to cover it, already the changes aren't going to apply so much to CB as they are to CL. So, what we had talked about at last meeting was instead instead of discouraging like law offices and office space in the limited commercial area, which is East 4th Street, Broad Street, East and West Broad, you know, a couple of the areas we've pointed out, this is going to make it easier for those kind of offices to operate in that limited commercial area. It's going to transition them from non-conforming to conforming uses.
I guess what my concern is this, is that Benner building has been up now for, I don't know, maybe a couple of years now. And I think the name of the restaurant that was in there was Sabra Beans. It was a coffee shop. And the second floor on up, which is all offices, from my understanding, is completely booked out, leased out. And it looks like he's having problems trying to get a restaurant or retail into the first floor. And my only concern is that we don't, I'm with you, and I'm on board with trying to have restaurant and retail on the first floor. My only concern is that if that continues in storefronts like that or buildings like that, where for some reason or another retail is not working or restaurants are not working, and I think it's not working here because, you know, it's if people want to park in that garage and walk over there, they want to park out front versus other restaurants that are down there. So my concern is that we just don't get to a point where we are binding the owner of that building. If he can't find a restaurant in 2 or 3 years, if a restaurant and a retail store is obviously not working there, if it is, great, but if it's not working there, what's the, is he stuck keeping that open, or does he have to come back to us to try to have us have a text amendment or something to change it so he could allow offices in there? I mean, I'm on board. I want to keep the first floors of all these buildings in these areas, retail and restaurant, if possible. But if it's not possible, if time goes by and we realize that for whatever reason that first floor, whatever building it is not attracting a restaurant or a business or a retail business, what relief could they get in allowing to have an office building on the first floor, I guess is my question.
With any zoning ordinance, if they can prove hardship, they can request a variance and take it to the zoning hearing board. You know, we do make policy in the best interest of the Central Business District, in this instance, you know, as a whole. We don't tend to make decisions, especially those that are backed up by retail analysis and, you know, study and just observation as to the turnover we've seen, the slip turnover in other locations. I'm certainly loath to discuss a specific property in a public setting, especially as it relates to real estate, but when it comes to this policy, we're looking at what's in the best interest of the downtown as a whole, not at individual storefronts.
I realize that. I'm just trying to figure out what relief in the future for not just this building, but any other building that would show that they had an issue, or there's issues that are not permitting for whatever reason for a retail store or a restaurant is just not working in a certain area of a city on the first floor. And then at that point, I think everybody would agree that we do want retail and also restaurants on first floors, but if it's not working, I think a business on the first floor is a much better look than an empty facility on the first floor. So that's my only concern.
Is there any other questions or comments from members of council on ordinance 9-1? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron? Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolutions. Resolution 10A.
Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Council of the City of Bethlehem, Northampton County, Pennsylvania, in accordance with the above-cited Municipal Records Manual, hereby authorizes the disposition of the Fire Department public records as stated in Exhibit A of the resolution. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10B.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and such other city officials as deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Huey Engineering, Inc. for water treatment plant roof repair. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10C.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and such other city officials deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Redu Associates, Inc. for Broadway sanitary sewer replacement. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10D.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and such other city officials as deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute an agreement to effectuate the transfer of a city-issued handgun assigned to Eric Eagle, retired city police officer. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10E.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and such other city officials deemed appropriate or hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Preferred EAP for Preferred Employee Assistance Program Services. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10F.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with St. Luke's Occupational Medicine for DOT-regulated random testing services. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10G.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and such other city officials as deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Joseph Phillips, Phillips and Donovan Architects for the historic officer position. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert? I'm sorry, Mr. Callan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10H.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and such other city officials deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Jeffrey Long for the historic officer position. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10-I.
Now, therefore, be it resolved by the City Council of the City of Bethlehem, recognizes the great historical, cultural, and architectural value of the historic Moravian Bethlehem, and strongly supports the city's efforts to have the site named to the World Heritage List. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Reynolds and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Mr. Reynolds?
Thank you, Mr. Waldron. I apologize, I was at a school district event earlier, and I believe that Ms. Donchez Mowers was going to call in with support for this resolution. I just want to thank Mr. Waldron and Mr. Bodoni and the clerk's office for putting this together. I had a conversation with Ms. Sanchez Mowers a week or so ago, and I turned around and I asked about whether or not we could put something on here. We had talked about it before, and this is really a big deal for Bethlehem, and there's a lot of people, and we've talked about it a little bit here and there, but when you go around and you talk to the different institutions, whether it be Moravian College or Historic Bethlehem Partnership or LVEDC or the Chamber, this is really a potentially wonderful thing for the city that could really bring a lot of people to our city. I just want to thank Mr. Waldron and Mr. Bodoni for working on this quickly to get on the agenda. And I also want to thank Ms. Donchez Mowers for all of her continual work here on this issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reynolds. Mr. Cologne? Mr. Cologne, you're on mute.
I'll start from the beginning. I also wanted to pretty much thank the members of council that brought this forward, and also Mrs. Donchez Mowers, who called in earlier. As fate would have it, I run into Mrs. Donchez Mowers grocery shopping pretty much half the time. Apparently, she and I go to the grocery store, so I get kind of the first-person updates from her directly, but also I hear all the work that goes into it and how much she's been putting forward her time, her energy, and really her expertise in what she brings to the table working on this. I really thank her and am glad to support anything that I can do, we can do, to continue all these efforts as we move forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cologne. Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10-J.
Be it resolved that the City Council of the City of Bethlehem and Lehigh Northampton Counties shall be, and the same hereby are authorized, to submit a financial assistance application to the Pennsylvania Infrastructure Investment Authority, substantially in the form presented at this meeting, for the purposes of financing the construction, rehabilitation, and or extension of the City of Bethlehem water system. Appropriate officers of the City of Bethlehem are authorized to execute all certifications and documents required in connection with the application. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10-K.
Certificate of Appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature and Bethlehem Ordinance is hereby granted for 29 East Church Street to remove fence sections and gates and to install a 6-foot-high red cedar fence and new gates. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10-L.
Certificate of Appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature and Bethlehem Ordinance is hereby granted for 408 New North Street to demolish the detached rear garage and replace with a 2-story structure with modifications to the existing deck. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10M.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Baphomet, the Mayor and the Controller, under such other city officials as deemed appropriate, are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with B&F Petroleum Installation, Inc. for replacement of a gasoline storage tank in the municipal garage. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Walden.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10N.
Now therefore be it resolved by the authority of the City Council of the City of Baphomet that after having reviewed the matter, the gift of property identified in the memorandum dated December 10, 2020 for 8 Mechanic Street is approved. Administration officials are authorized to accept delivery of the deed for this property. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Moving to new business, I have an announcement from Mr. Reynolds.
Thank you. The Finance Committee will meet on Tuesday, January 26th at 6 p.m. The agenda items will be budget year-end adjustments. Thank you.
And Ms. Gramsci Smith?
The Public Works Committee will meet on Thursday, March 4th, 2021 at 5:30 p.m. in Town Hall. The agenda items will be discussion of 1, the responsible contracting bill, 2, gift of land to the city, 3, stormwater and management fee. Due to COVID, this will be a virtual meeting, and instructions for public comment over the phone will be posted online on the City Council meeting calendar page. Thank you.
Thank you both. Is there any other new business for members of council this evening? Seeing none, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you all for joining us. Have a great week.